Yeah.
Well, it kills your brain cells. The guy, he said, if you wear a mask, it kills your brain cells. And that just explains exactly who he is, right?
Oh, are we rolling right now?
Oh yeah, actually we are. Yeah, are we?
Oh, welcome to Loose Release Wrestling. That was a very unpracticed, off-the-cuff, spontaneous remark to start the show. Welcome, my name is Red Jefferson. I'm here with Mohit Jaswal. Mohit, how are you, bud?
Ah, geez, Red, I'm doing great right now. I'm doing great. How are you?
That's great to hear.
Yeah,
real eh.
Okay, we can talk about it later. Shit. All right,
someone broke the window to my front door. Not my front door, but broke the window to the front door of my building.
Oh.
They broke the window. And now there's plywood in front of it.
Wow, that looks shady. But
yeah, it does.
Does that affect you? It just affects you emotionally, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Well, I'm
because
sorry.
Because now I go in with like a sadness each time. And it just always, like, I come back to my house and I'm always just this much sadder. Well, just a little bit every time I come home.
That's fair. But at least you got a roof under your head. You got a bed. You got a hat.
Do not take me out of my pity party, Mohit. I want to wallow.
I'm trying my best, Red.
It's my pity puddle that I like to splash in. Mohit, we're here with AEW, the woos and whats of AEW. Today's their one-year anniversary thing.
Yeah.
How did you expect them to hit 1 year, Mohit?
No, they were going to go under in 1 day. That one day, Red, that's what I think, that's what I think. No, of course, yeah, I wish them the best of luck.
No, but did you, I don't know, I had some reservations. I didn't know if it was going to last. I thought, honestly, you ever watch one of those new, like, you ever watch Wrestling Society X?
No, what's that? I actually never heard that before.
It was on MTV. It was on MTV, it had X-Pac, it had maybe, who else did they have? They had a few people. There was like a piranha match. There's electric piranha match where someone got pushed into a pool with fake piranhas that turned electric, like sparks flew.
Wait, is it like a, is it a real match? Or sorry, is it a real wrestling show? Or is it like
a... Yeah, it's a real wrestling show that's done very cartoony. So there was like explosions and piranhas.
Well, that sounds like right up my alley.
Vampiro was in there.
I gotta check that out because I love Lucha Underground and that's very cartoony and silly, right?
This one's... more so.
Oh my God,
you have to give it a shot.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, this is they hit their 1 year. This is their 1 year anniversary. And wow. The first hour of the show, I'm just like, I don't have a single what. Then the second hour came in, which was one giant what for me.
Oh yeah. I'm noticing a pattern. I noticed the same pattern, possibly at the exact same time as you did, it sounds like. Where
was it, Matt Hardy?
Oh, I mean, definitely, but I don't know if that was the exact moment. I'm saying mostly
right in the nuts.
I'm saying in general. Oh, yeah, that was rough. I'm saying like the last 2 or 3 weeks, has been consistent where the first hour is amazing, and that gives them enough time to kind of experiment, I guess, with some crappier ideas. I don't know what the hell happens, but just consistently in the middle of the show, it hits a slump, and then the main event is fine and fun, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And let's talk about it a little bit because my issue with AEW right now is that I feel like they forget. Is the thing?
Is Atticus? It's Atticus. I was worried about Atticus and I was trying to do its non, like, just subtly, you know, I was trying to, like, hopefully not get you out of your head.
No, thank God you did that because I was going nowhere with that comment. I'm so glad we segued off. The woos of what's my first woo of the evening.
There you go. All right. Yeah. Red, how could I not start the night without talking about Britt Baker and Tony Schiavone having a spa together in
what?
The best promo that Britt Baker has done and Tony Schiavone has done, at least in AEW so far. They had it all.
Paint us the picture of what happened.
A lot. I'm gonna need you to tag team with me because it's quite a lot. But yeah, no, they just have a spot together. It's kind of honestly the same old kind of promo that Britt Baker is doing of like, I'm the best, the boss queen, whatever the hell she calls herself. I don't know. It's
baddest
all,
bitch.
Baddest bitch. Yeah, whatever. It's all the same. I actually don't care.
It's all
about
fluff.
Yeah, it's fluff. It's fine. I think she's getting really good at that shtick. I gotta say, but I've just heard it a bunch of times. But what changed it was the setting and the feeling, the style of it, which is Tony Schiavone shirtless, like getting a massage next to Britt Baker with the weird face mask thing on. She still tries to do the same old like routine with the Reba with the flip chart. It doesn't work at all. Yeah, I don't know.
No, it was the greatest part, and also the camera work. The camera work I thought was beautiful. I was thinking about you when they were doing it. I was just like, this is a lot of fun. So basically, Tony Schiavone's been doing these interviews, and he just does one at a spa. That's all it is. But everything about it, the way he was interviewing while laying down, the fact that they got weirded out when he wasn't wearing a shirt on, even though he was never, like, it was a spa. I didn't know it was weird. But, like, even the 40-year-old virgin ripping off when they waxed his chest, this is... You're really creating Tony Schiavone, the mean gene. You're giving him so much. Like, yeah. I haven't seen an interviewer get this kind of, like, treatment, which I really appreciate. And he gets the person over.
I wonder how much of that's Britt Baker's doing. I wonder how much of it's, like, she comes up with it or something. Because it seems to be consistently with Britt Baker, these kind of sillier ideas, where she kind of introduced the Starbucks gimmick to Tony Schiavone, how he used to work at Starbucks, and they kind of made that into a fun joke and stuff. So it's a great duo. The
excellent job.
I love the when he's getting his chest waxed. I don't remember what she says. Just something like, "Are you ready for it? What are you doing?" But she's like, "I really think you got to get your chest waxed," or something. But you just see her smirking and just totally breaking character. And it's kind of like
it was very endearing.
Yeah, it's like watching someone on SNL like crack up. It's just endearing. It's exciting. I don't know. It's like, very this is real, and you're watching a friend get fucked up, and it's funny. You know, it's It was just a blast.
I'm surprised no one on commentary talked about it afterward. Afterward, no one talked about it. They barely even mentioned it. I was waiting for the razzum. I want them to get razzed.
JR
that's
would
fun.
poke some jokes at him. You know, yeah, it'd be hilarious.
Well, Mo, what's your next? We both agree with that woo. Excellent woo. Next woo of the evening. What you got?
Thank you, Red. My next woo of the evening is...
I'm usually so mean to you.
Yeah, for once, thank you. Just tear rolls down my face. Miro. Everything Miro did tonight was really fun. I liked it. Yeah, I guess it all started in the first match of the evening where Trent... During his match against FTR, got thrown into an arcade machine that was out there that Kip was playing. And then he screams, "Get him! Get him now!" And then Penelope Ford runs in to get Miro, who beats the shit out of Best Friends and then has a match immediately after. And then destroys the two jobbers and then and gets his catchphrase over, game over.
But I still haven't heard him say that. I keep hearing him scream something, but I never hear the words game over. I hear something else. I keep thinking he's saying something in Bulgarian, like Machka. I just never hear game over.
He said it twice now. Right before he does his finisher, he stops for a solid beat in the spotlight, right in the middle of the ring, stares right at the camera, and says it with like a flex, with an accent. He goes, "Game over!" He says it. This time he was trying to get it over, where he screamed "game" and waited for the audience to kind of call in response and then screamed it. It's obnoxious.
I must miss the first part each time, because all I hear is that's all I hear. But he's amazing. He's doing so great. I love this character. He's the nerd juggernaut. Like, he's like real cool and chill up until you mess with him or his video games or his friends. He comes out and goes crazy. I like this as a great booking, excellent booking, to have the focus go to Best Friends and them, like Miro and Kip versus the Best Friends. Excellent way of doing it. I thought it was real fun and silly. Yeah. And it didn't look bad for FTR, even though the finish did get weird.
Yeah, that's actually one of my woos, but we could talk about that in a second. I like this new turn. Everything that Miro's doing, what I like about it is that it's so obnoxious. It's so obnoxious, it's going back on itself to me enjoying it. Like, the game over thing is obnoxious as hell, but I find it funny. I like that his the best man is really a stupid name still, but I think it's funny now.
I like it. That I think it's funny. It's something you could use afterward.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's what they're doing because they've so far abandoned the wedding angle that they had going for. Like, they haven't spoken about it all in 2 weeks, so.
What happened to the bachelor party?
Yeah, where's Billy Mitchell? What happened to that? The video game expert or whatever.
They made it seem like that was going to continue on later that episode.
Yeah, then they just dropped it. And knowing
they just dropped it.
Knowing AEW, they might just straight up drop it and not bring it up again. Or bring it up in like 8 months. And then all of us wrestling nerds can be like, this is a callback to that thing. Yeah.
That's so manipulative. You can't let us have it now. You can't even treat us.
They do it all the time.
That's literally like showing a dog a box of treats, pulling one out, showing it to them, putting it back in the box, putting it up there, and then waiting for them to be good. Like, it's terrible.
You gotta pay it. Yeah. So, anyways, that's pretty much it. Excellent. Love Miro. Love Kip.
We're killing it right now, Moa. We're just on fire. What's your next one got going?
Well, you're gonna love this one, Red. You're gonna love it.
I already know what it is because you're saying I'm gonna love it, and I know who it's going to be about.
I think we're going to have to say it at the same time. MJ. Just like what they do, MJF versus Jericho. I probably just peaked because I accidentally screamed right into the microphone. Sorry, you're going to have to edit that later.
Apologies. That's part of the fun of Loser Leaves Wrestling, which you could follow on Twitter at Loser Leaves Pod, Instagram at Loser Leaves Wrestling, also on YouTube, and make sure to review us. Continue, Moet.
Yeah. Should I set the stage a little bit?
Yes, please.
Yeah, they essentially, it's a segment. MJF brings out the Inner Circle, including Chris Jericho. They talk for a while about a lot of things. A lot of jokes happen. A lot of silly things happen. And then eventually they agree to have dinner together, Jericho and MJF. They're going to go on a date together next week and eat steak, and I think it'll be really fun, maybe romantic, who knows? They don't know either, but yeah, lots of details to go over.
What a perfect, I think this was maybe my favorite, like, commercial break, favorite block promo I've ever seen. This may be one of the best promos I've ever seen, of him beating around the bush for 10 to 12 minutes to say, I would like to be in the Inner Circle. Like, he went in this huge circle, and you got everything in there. I love the fact that with Sammy Guevara not wanting to wear the jacket, and he gets him one that's too big. That was amazing. And also the wordplay that MJF uses, and it's perfect. It's spot on when he was just like, maybe, possibly, plausibly, potentially, maybe, kinda, shoulda, and like he goes through this whole, it's just amazing, everything about it, up until the steak dinner, which I'm so excited for because of this promo.
Yeah, and that they created the steak dinner, or they set it up as if it was a fight.
A match.
Like, do you want to have a steak dinner together? That's such a ridiculous pro wrestling thing. Like, we're gonna have a steak dinner, and it's, yeah, I thought that was hilarious.
I think that may have been one of my favorite promos I've heard in years. Like, see, the pipe bomb. This is the new pipe bomb.
That's crazy. I thought, I didn't think all the jokes worked, and I was actually very close to just being like, just writing the whole segment off at first. I don't know. I can't think of a, I don't know if I wrote anything specific. When he does the maybe, when he tries to get into the Inner Circle by asking, he's like, can I join the Inner Circle? I thought that was like just kind of hack comedy Maxwell, you gotta say the words, and then he kind of spits out different things, like, can I join the inn? And then he says something else. You know, I thought that was kind of lame, but they brought it back, and it would, you know, the dinner thing was great and overruled all that stuff.
I think you need to watch that promo again without your hate for MJF, secret bubbling it, because it's real. The thing is, I hate MJF as a person. I'll be the first. Like, I know, I think we both know, and Loser Leaves Wrestling can't agree on this, that MJF is a bad person on the inside.
He's a shitty person in real life.
Like, deep down.
As a human and as a character and everything about him. He hasn't done anything terrible, you know, Me Too-y, as far as I know.
No,
but he's still terrible.
Because one of what he's kind of like that incel that will just say weird things, but then just keep in his closet and just mope.
I guess what I bring it up is like, there's levels to shittiness, and he's not, He's nowhere near the top, but he's getting there.
Oh, but man, every single thing he said, even though not everything was perfect or hit or anything like that, the fact that he didn't stop. There was not a stutter. There was not a missed spot. Even when he was like something was distracting, he said something. The ratings maker or the ratings ruler or something.
Yeah, I do got to say, yeah.
I think he was able to boo him, but absolutely no one booed him.
Yeah. That was good. That wasn't my notes. That I thought it's extremely impressive that he was able to like stand toe to toe with Jericho on the mic. It's impressive when anybody can do it, but especially someone that's so young and only a couple years in.
And this was his night. Like him and Jericho looked fine, but Jericho didn't really. This was like a MJF promo.
Yeah,
Jericho was just there.
Yeah, he's just there to help to kind of be the side, you know, someone to talk to essentially. But he did some great stuff. He was there to keep bouncing, pushing, pulling it. You know, down. Yeah, you know
no
what I'm saying.
To Jericho. Yeah. All the praise to Jericho. Praise be his name. Wow, Moat, 3 for 3. Let's keep this going because we're going to, I think this is going to be the perfect episode. We have to stop doing this after this.
If we hit
all our same woos and whats,
I actually
have
don't,
to stop the show.
I don't think it's going to happen. I think this is where we diverge because I'm not even excited about what I'm about to say, Red. That's how where it goes. Because then I started feeling self-conscious about how it's all just storyline stuff. I'm like, well, I got to have a match. But then I realized I didn't actually like any of the matches that much. So, you know, I put Best Friends versus FTR on there. Did you put... Best friends.
No.
I gotta show all of our fans that I like wrestling on my wrestling show. Yeah, that I'm watching. So you know, the best friend was fine. So my number five is. I guess we could talk about it.
No, in all honesty, there's not much to talk about. Let's not force ourselves to talk about a thing we don't care about.
It was fine. No, let's do it, because it's wrestling.
Okay, you're right. They had a good match, and I liked it.
No, let's complain about something in it, because this wasn't in my what's, but I didn't like the belt ending. I didn't like how they cheated. But then I thought... And I genuinely want to know your opinion on this, because I'm kind of on the fence, because it is kind of like a traditional sort of heel tactic to cheat, you know, to keep your belts, but also not try too hard, you know, because you don't need to if you can just cheat, you know. So like, and it worked because it pissed me off. That's the whole point, I think, of it happening. But I think what bothers me about it was they were clearly winning. Like they screwed over Trent, like they his foot was messed up or whatever, because they tried to... you know, toss him, and he just drops to the ground immediately. So they were going to win no matter what, but they still cheat, and that just pissed me off because I thought it wasn't necessary.
It's overkill. Yeah. I do think it's overkill. I wish it was, but I thought the end of the match was bad. Ever since he went through the arcade, and then, well, the things I love Kip saying like, oh, get him, and then Penelope ran. I love that because they're running. I thought that was so cool. I think Miro should have come out immediately.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Immediately, and then just beat the shit out of Trent, who is near the thing, beats the shit out of him, and then Chuck gets double-teamed, destroyed, demolished, pinned, clean. I think that would have been a good way of going about it, because they still get their kind of heelishness by double-teaming a single person, and then you get that Miro thing without having to waste... You're right. It was just weird.
Has AEW done a disqualification yet?
Like, we talked about that last week.
We did?
Either last week or the week before. And I think we talked about this. I think I posed the question last time. And you're like, maybe. I think my answer is going to be maybe as well.
I don't remember that at all. But that sounds about right. Okay. Yeah, because
no,
I think
Has there? Because there's no... I can't imagine a scenario where they would have... I can't even think of an AEW ref going like, ring the bell! I can't even imagine that. I can't even picture in the smallest of my brain them ever doing that.
That's a good point. Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's because, you know, WWE has a awful, awful history of just constant DQs on Raw, SmackDown. Just, like, nothing matters at all because of the DQ finishes and stuff. So... I actually, in general, I like that they don't do it. But in situations like this, it hurts them, because if they want to set up a match like here in that organic way, then it's totally fine to not have best friends. We're not going to win tonight. There was a very small chance they're going to win. So it's okay to have a DQ here. It's okay to have Miro come in and whip some ass, and, you know, no one's going to be angry. It just, yeah, I think they're just way too careful with that concept.
Yeah, I 100% think so.
Yeah. Because that's part, I don't know. Whatever. We can talk about it.
No, forever. And one thing I just wanted to pose to you, FTR, what was their gimmick again? That they follow the rules and that their matches, all the rules would be followed?
Yes.
Have they said that or mentioned that once since they said it? Like, maybe they've been passing on Dark or something and passing here, but like, that is no longer a talked about thing. It's back to the same old, you know, like it didn't affect anything. It was a weird thing to talk about in the beginning, which I felt was uncomfortable, and they seem to have dropped that as well.
Although, I can also argue, I mean, you can make an argument for the fact that Tully may be, like, brainwashing them and influencing the kind of change, because when Tully's around, they're, all of a sudden, he's kind of grabbing feet, you know, kind of helping people, like, in a way that does not follow the rules. So maybe, and, you know, the way that he kind of grabs the belt immediately after the match and, like, kind of takes it away, it might be something.
I would
there.
Love that if they
know.
Said it.
They don't
they
say
said
it,
something. They don't even say those things. They don't even remind us that it's in their contracts that they need to follow the rules. You may meet such a big deal out of it, and it meant nothing, and it went nowhere. And all this was weird to begin with. I'm just basically saying I'm glad they're not talking about it anymore.
Yeah, the tag rope rule, they made such a big deal about it, and then friggin' Dax Harwood is not holding on to the tag rope.
Is he not?
There are big, long moments where he's not. As in, like, he's on the other side of the apron or something like
I'm
that.
I'm furious now. That's unsettling. Well, we'll move on. I got my next woo here, since we did not agree on that
Sorry,
one.
Sorry, Red.
I'm going to... No, it's okay. Because Monolith, the show must continue now.
Yeah.
That's it.
Oh, man, I ruined your mood. Your mood's just like... You were so excited. There's got to be a supercut from how excited you were. We're getting better, though. Every week, we're getting a little bit closer to the
we're getting so close to being on the same page. One day. Sean Spears wants to collect a memory.
God, for fuck's sake. No. There's no way I would have put that on. We're never going to be on the same page.
This was a stretch. This was a stretch.
He wants to collect a memory? Is that what you call it?
That's what he said.
It's like a romantic comedy or something.
That's what he wants to do. He wants to collect Scorpio Sky. He wants to get Scorpio Sky's memories. He wants it because he took a memory from him, which I'm not sure when. Sean never explained when he took that memory. But he says he wants it back. I just, the only thing I liked about this is that it's a completely original reason to want a match. What do I eat? Like, he took my memory and now I'm going to take his memory. Like, I've never heard that be a challenge. And so it was very exciting for me.
Wait, what was he talking about though?
I don't know.
I can't.
I don't know. And that's part of the reason why I liked it, because it seemed so confusing. It made me laugh. That's why I wrote it down as a woo, because they show him hitting Cody with a chair.
Yeah.
Cody falls down, and then he says, "Scorpio, you took my memories," or something. He, like, I don't get it. But the best part about it was when he's just like, oh, he doesn't think so. He was saying something like he, like, almost like mythical, like godlike, and then you just see Tully move to the side behind him.
Yeah, I like that.
And
yeah.
That was pretty dope.
That was
so
really
I like the idea that Tully's goes to your thing. He's manipulating FTR not to follow rules. He's making, he's gaslighting Sean Spears.
Poor Sean Spears. So what I liked about it was I like Sean Spears as a person from, you know, the very little I know about him, his you know, outside interviews and whatnot. I completely forgettable as a performer, as a wrestler, as a character, because I completely forgot he did that thing where, like, right before, they went out to the ring, what is SCU, he's standing there, he's like, good luck, because I'm watching and I was like, oh, okay, all right, and then immediately forgot about it. And so watching it again, the segment, good luck, like, oh, did that happen? I guess it did happen. Oh,
that was a tree.
They are setting something up. Like, I'm usually, like, excited about keeping track of this stuff, like, yeah, freaking Sean Spears, whatever. Where's that gonna go? Good for him. Good
bless him.
Yeah,
what's your last woo, Moet?
Lance Archer versus Jon Moxley was I don't know why I put it there. I just wanted more wrestling on my list, and
I get it. It was,
and I wasn't.
Was,
I bet. Okay, here's what I bet: Big Swole was versus Sheeta was probably better. I bet it was. but I wasn't paying attention to it in that moment. I was
the ending in the beginning. It seemed like the beginning they were a little off, but then it got better and then better. And then towards the end, there's something wrong. There's a timing issue or something. And it was a weird, ugly, awkward finish. It was awkward, yeah. And which is a shame because I was looking forward to it. I was looking forward to that match.
Yeah. But I did like how Lance Archer beat up Jon Moxley at the very start of the show in that backstage thing. I thought that was chaotic. I did not like how that had absolutely no repercussions or no consequences, that Jon Moxley was 100% fine for the match. I did not like that aspect. So,
yeah,
I don't know. It is. Yeah. It is what it is. It's fun.
I actually also, what I don't like about that match is that they totally made Lance Archer look like to be a nothing. He looked like nothing afterwards. Dean Ambrose, Jon Moxley got so much offense, too much offense, for him to get a sneak win at the end. Why not make him beat the shit out of you like he was a threat and then get the sneak win? Why even get the sneak win?
Yeah.
You know, like, you were dominated. You gave your fucking finisher immediately. Like, he's an idiot. Lance Archer looked like a fucking idiot in that match because he walks into a finisher.
Yeah, yeah, that like, was insane.
Bunch of a dummy. And then, well, not only does that make him look like shit, makes the move look like shit.
Yeah, because
he kicked out of it immediately.
He kicks out, yeah, and so there's no drama to it. It does, like, I actually forgot if it was his finisher or not because I saw him like, did he just win the match? And then he kicked out. I'm like, oh, maybe he changed his finisher. Which he did with the bulldog choke. I like the bulldog choke a lot.
I'm getting into the bulldog choke.
It's a great
choke. I think that's a much better finisher than the paradigm shift. Nobody has, I love Mick Foley, but not a single person has ever been, had a good double hand DDT as a finisher.
Yeah.
Like, it's never been a good finisher. Ever.
I think it looks cool. I don't know. I like it.
It's a cool move. I wish DDTs mattered more.
Yeah.
I really do wish they mattered more, but they don't anymore. And every DDT I see is always boring to me. Everyone.
Yeah. I agree. I suppose I agree. I don't know. I don't have anything to add to that. But as far as the bulldog choke goes, there's if you ever care, it was used in the UFC sort of infamously a couple years ago, maybe it was last year. Time doesn't exist anymore, but sure. Look up Ben Askren versus Robbie Lawler.
He does the choke
and it's legit. He finishes the match with it.
Lawler.
I feel like I'm on the spot here because I'm doubting myself that that's his name, but yeah, I think it's Robbie Spell Lawler. I think it's Lawlor or something, but I could be wrong. Now I'm gonna feel like a dummy. But anyways, it's not, nothing bad happens. It's that he gets his ass kicked and gets him in the bulldog choke, and Robbie like looks like he goes out, but then the ref stops it, and then he immediately gets up. It's like, what happened? What happened? And so there's like this whole controversy of like, is the bulldog, like, did he go out? What happened? Was he just like resting? And so a lot went into like how the bulldog choke in the MMA circles, analysts of like how it actually hurts you, because like, is it actually a choke that makes you like, you know, closes off the sides of your neck, or what is it? And it's actually it screws up your spine, is what it does.
Imagine.
Yeah, it's if you torque it high enough, it like fucks up all of your like alignment and stuff. So it's like extremely dangerous, apparently. And yeah.
Should be banned. I'm going to make that stand right here, Moet. Yeah, I'm going to say the bulldog choke should be banned in AEW2. In AEW2. We need that's going to be Eddie Kingston's new march.
Oh, that'd actually be really good. Yeah.
Actually, well, Oh, are they doing that with Eddie Kingston?
What's that?
Because he never tapped. Is that the thing that they're doing with that?
What?
That thing that you're mentioning right now?
No.
With Robbie? No, but it's a similar framing.
It is,
he's
very similar.
Like, he gets up. He's like, I didn't do it.
Yeah, because he was pissed off in UFC because he, you know, wanted to still fight. So it's very real. Like, he was just like, I didn't tap out. What the fuck are you doing? But he was actually very, very nice about it. Like, once the adrenaline wore off, he like was very gracious about his loss or whatever. It was everybody else in the MMA community was like, he didn't tap. What are you doing? You know,
But still, I think this is interesting for that makes me feel better about Eddie Kingston. But we're going to get to him in the what's my last woo of the evening. Moet.
Yes.
Last one. Small one, but Orange Cassidy and his hybrid character. I'm saying Orange Cassidy, not the match, but basically we've been having troubles with Orange Cassidy. He was our what's for a past few weeks. And now I've come to grips with the fact that he's not the same as he once was, but he's good as once was that he'll ever be. I don't know how to say that saying. But basically what I'm saying is I'm fine with him having this back and forth where he's like slow and sloth-like, but then he's amped up because while I love those things that he does, they do make all the other wrestlers look like idiots on TV every week because they don't learn the very simple ways of countering these moves.
Yeah.
He can't do those things all the time. And so him being a fiery baby face every now and then, like when he's like pushed or challenged, let him have his moments. He'll have them. He had them during Cody's match where he got tired and then he just starts doing the little kicks or something like that. So I'm growing to be okay with it, and I made it a woo.
Wow, okay. But isn't it, like, dumb that they don't, like, know who Orange Cassidy is and don't, like, why doesn't anyone just, like, knock him unconscious when he tries to do the kicks?
Sure.
I think Jericho actually did it once.
You know, and I like the variation. Some people play with it, some people don't. I'm starting to be okay with it. I'm just trying.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just nitpicking because it's supposed to be fun and I'm like ruining the fun of wrestling by just having fun, you know?
But I'm like, over having fun with wrestling.
Yeah, I think that's what's happening to me right now. It is fun. It's fun, I suppose.
It never was. Yeah. No, it's fine. Well, Moet, we've gone through all the happy things and now we have a smattering of angering things for me. What about you? Anything really stick out? What's your big what of the evening?
Well, my big what of the evening is Orange Cassidy versus Cody. Really? Yeah, it is.
Oh, man. Oh, what a great segue. Tell me.
That match sucked. It was dumb. I'm so tired. It was for the first time. I'm so tired of both of their theatrics. I think it's because I've seen other people complain about it. I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right. But Cody, I'm finally seeing the Cody thing. Like, I think because this match didn't need to be a Cody match, and yet it became one. It became very dramatic, over the top, interferences that don't mean anything, a crazy entrance, the big announcer announcing both sides, the whole family behind Cody. Like, I don't know. It just pisses me off. It's too theatrical. Orange Cassidy shouldn't have. His shtick. I don't like it. I still don't like it. I've come around to it. I think he's oversaturated now, Red. I think it's ridiculous. Mm. Dark Order was dumb. I thought it was
dumb. That was my first what before I crossed it off.
I thought it was going to be incredible at first because I was watching it, and in one camera angle, you could see that side of the audience. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, that's a Dark Order member in there. Oh, like, oh, there's another Dark. Oh, the whole freaking group is out there, you know, but they didn't announce it. I'm like, oh, this is gonna be good. And then, like, you know, then he gets thrown out, and then it's like some tension is building, and I thought like legit dread was building because of the way the other wrestlers, you know, that are watching, like, were treating the Dark Order. But then John Silver does some clown shit, and then they literally do absolutely nothing at all, and then they leave, and it's like, what was the point of that? Why not just, I guess Brody Lee's just done. I guess that feud is done. What? I don't know.
I get they wanted to just keep Dark Order. That's the thing. Like, and they shouldn't fall into the trap of WWE because they've been doing a good job with it in a lot of areas. You don't need to have every wrestler on every show. There's a few that they feel they need to show. And I get Jon Moxley. I get that. Young Bucks, actually, they didn't have Kenny Omega or Hangman Page on this one at all. Right?
Yeah, no, they didn't. They just announced
this is the first time.
They announced the tournament, yeah.
But, like, they don't... I feel like this was a good opportunity for them to not have Brody Lee on all, Dark Order at all. Let Dark Order have a week off. Let him have a week off so next week we could see him and be a little bit... They did not need to show up. I entirely agree with that.
Well,
they did
actually,
not need to show up at all.
It's actually interesting because I think they actually have a very relaxed schedule where, like, except for, like, the workhorses, like Cody... John Moxley, a couple of the Orange Cassidy is there all the time now. Like, I think they actually do like cycle through wrestlers. Like Darby Allin isn't there. Like I know a particular source about a particular wrestler from Austin that I kind of maybe don't know, but I know. But he apparently
are you trying to sell me drugs? what are you talking talking about?
I've got too many code words. I just don't know. I just don't want to give away my sources, you know. But I heard that they actually, like, you know, they don't actually need to live in Florida, like move to Florida, because they're cycling through every other week, so they can actually live wherever they want to live and then just fly in, you know, once a week.
So, I'm just saying they did need to have Dark Order on, and they had them on, and I'm not sure why.
Well, that's fair then. Yeah, because I agree with that.
They didn't have a reason for them to be there, and yet they had them on there, which is how I felt about the Young Bucks the past several months.
Yeah.
They had them on, even though they didn't be there. Especially after Tony Schiavone got kicked, which still pisses me off. Very good what. I agree entirely. That was almost my what. But my main what of the evening, Mohit, I'm going to go with Eddie Kingston the entire end of that night. Him on commentary, because he was, you know, he's a good talker, but he lacked confidence that entire time. So he's just like, he's just doing like Taz Light. Yeah. He even said Captain Obvious. He even called Excalibur Captain Obvious. And he said it like Taz. And then when he comes out and they hit Lance Archer with a chair, he no-sells it, even though he just got beaten up by the weakest punches from Moxley in the world, and they leave, whatever. Then he pretends to like John for a little bit. He pretends to be cool with John, be like, oh, you did a great job. And John, like an idiot, accepts it, like a big, dumb idiot, this phony bullshit. I was just like, he's gonna hit you. Yeah. Like, we all knew he was gonna attack him. It wasn't a surprise. He felt like Sting on his worst days. Like, when he's just the most gullible, the most stupid version of himself. And it really got me angry at Moxley. Wow. And Eddie Kingston.
I actually like that whole thing where they pretend to be his friend. But I think it was, again, a timing issue, which maybe, you know, wrestling, you know, it's not, since it's all happening live, then that happens sometimes. So I gotta kind of give him, you know, a little bit of space to play. I think he kind of got up too early. Either he got up too early or Eddie kind of rambled just a little bit too long, you know? So I think it became, every now and then you can kind of see the silliness of it, because he gets in and kind of does the Mortal Kombat kind of like shaky, like fatality sort of thing, where he just like does this kind of wobbly motion for a little bit too long for a normal human. Sure. And then he gets hit. I think if they just timed it a little bit better, like, it would make sense of like, he's my friend, let's help him up, you know. And that's kind of,
yeah,
I like
it,
that
could
concept
have been that way.
Yeah, yeah,
I guess that's the issue, is that it was just it went on too long, where it ruined the segment for me, because yeah, like, John Moxley was fully coherent at one point, and I think he even smiled when Eddie's like, yeah, raise his hand, he's just like, oh, all right, they're gonna raise my hand, like, yeah, a fucking dummy.
Yeah, that is,
it just got
dumb.
Me very angry. But I get that. And it would have been cool if it was done like that. I think it would have been cool. Unfortunately, it was not.
No.
It was not. Was that one of your what's, Mohit?
No, it actually wasn't, but it should have been. I should have put it down. Yeah, I think I just forgot about it. I was ready. Yeah, but it was bad.
Yeah, we were already cooked.
Yeah.
That last half of the night was just upsetting. Let's talk about your next what. What's your next what?
I wasn't a big fan of this whole lottery tag team tournament, or
we're on the same page with our what so far.
Yeah, it just completely unnecessary. Okay, so it was a very sudden, so this is the thing that I don't like about AEW, all these sudden like story developments, rules, they consistently add things to heighten the drama for absolutely no reason. And case in point here is that all of a sudden there's a friggin' lottery raffle circle spinny spinneroony. What are they called? The bingo spinneroony.
The tumbler.
The tumbler.
Weekend. I don't know. I was gonna say, yeah, weekend warrior.
The weekend warrior. Yeah, it's the old faithful.
Yeah, you know? The old tin weekend warrior.
Yeah, that thing. Yeah, all of a sudden that's out in the middle of the ring. FTR, and then like the freaking 12 tag teams out, and they're like, "All right, next week there's a lottery for the to see who faces FTR at the pay per view or whatever." I didn't write down who it was. It was Private Party. Let's see, Young Bucks, Butcher and Blade, and then John Silver and Alex Reynolds.
Yeah.
Got it. So the Young Bucks, of course, as soon as the Young Bucks were got, so here's, what about rankings? Why don't rankings matter? Who decided this lottery system? What the hell was that all about? And then as soon as the Young Bucks showed up, of course the Young Bucks were going to be in there. As soon as they're there, it negates every other tag team there because you know the Young Bucks are going to win. It's like the tournament. You know it's going to end with Hangman versus Kenny Omega. So, like, in this case, like, at least the tournament's kind of interesting. You get other matches, a little bit of drama. But this is, like, just sign fucking Young Bucks versus FTR. Like, but I will go back a little bit at what I said, because they did set up a little bit of an interesting thing between Private Party, because Private Party were the ones that stopped Young Bucks first from getting to wrestle FTR at the pay-per-view. So they kind of did a little thing where they stared at each other, but...
And then they made them look like shit.
Yeah,
then
yeah.
Young Bucks, basically what happened is they had this weird little thing, and then they make Butcher and Blade, the Dark Order, and... what are their favorite? Private Party. They make them all look like shit. Because what they do is like, oh, we're going to super kick them. They super kick individual members of the party, and then they don't do anything for a few seconds.
Yeah.
For a few seconds, their friends are just kind of standing there while they super kick another person. Like, the fact that they didn't get demolished the minute they tried to start a brawl by all these teams, and then they finally get the upper hand, Private Party's there, and then they shake hands and they do the same fucking thing to that John Moxley got to him from Eddie Kingston, where they play friends and then super kick them. Everyone looked like shit. Very angry.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just annoying because there's enough things to be bothered by that I can't suspend my disbelief. I can't just pass it off. It's like, it's just wrestling. It's stupid. Like, it shouldn't make me think about these other things. Like, they establish rankings and they establish these things and then they don't do it. That's what bothers me when those moments happen. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty much all. I'm excited for Young Bucks versus FTR. I think this match will probably be fun to watch, this four-way. I think it'll be good, or at least interesting. Some crazy shit's going to happen, but it shouldn't. None of it should have happened. The lottery shouldn't have happened, you know? That's
100%.
It. Yeah.
Well, Moet, we both agree on that. What? That's a good what to have. What kind of whats do we got going on now? What's your last what? Is this your last what?
That is my last what, because I only got three. Yeah, you're right. I should have had four, but this went through.
We're definitely going to agree with this one.
Yeah, it is Sammy Guevara coming back to the fucking Sammy Guevara Matt Hardy feud is continuing. It's still going on. Matt's talking about how he's finally healthy, and then like this really creepy weird video segment that I actually kind of dug. I was into the segment until it revealed to be Sammy shows up, and then Sammy's like, this isn't over yet, and like it's a fine promo, and like his points are actually pretty good of like all the crazy things he's done to him, but like just let it die. Like the feud is cursed. It's cursed. Don't put them up against each other anymore. It's like
Matt Hardy die. That should be his new slogan. Matt Hardy he cannot die. Let Matt Hardy die. Because like it's too much. You're right. Like they had this literally snake bit feud. It was this literally poison cursed feud. Nothing good was coming of it. Not great matches. Nope. Just people getting hurt. Mm-hmm. And the decay. Literally Matt Hardy has aged 10 years since that first match.
Yeah.
He looks terrible.
Yeah.
He looks absolutely terrible. And I hated that back. Everything from this, Tony Schiavone interviewing Matt, who was already out of it. He didn't seem like he was there. Sammy Guevara's, I thought it was lame. I thought him in that room, I think that would have looked so good for a new wrestler. When I saw it with Sammy Guevara, I was already, the everything was popped out of me. All my enthusiasm for it was gone. And then it goes back to Matt, and he starts stuttering over his words, but then he gets out like, I'm going to face Sammy Guevara. And then Tony Schiavone wrote, okay, very good. Like, you could always tell when a segment's shit. When Tony Schiavone tries to transition, he's always just like, well, that was that. Just move on.
That's great. That's a great, I'm glad you noticed that. I gotta
please listen to that.
Yeah.
If you get a chance to watch it again, just listen to Tony Schiavone say that at the end. It's so funny.
That's good.
That's the funniest thing.
Yeah, I like the video because it just felt like goofy anime bullshit, you know? Of just like creepy music and things being burnt, pictures of Matt. I just thought it was just very, very silly. And then I was hoping for a new challenger.
A new person.
Yeah. Even if it was somebody in the company, you know, showing a new side of themselves. But Yeah, actually, now that I'm saying it, that doesn't fit what Sammy's into at all. Like, he's not a guy that does that kind of weird stuff. I don't know. It's just, yeah, nothing about, I'm not excited about it. I don't want to see them wrestle because I don't want to see either of them get hurt again.
There's how many matches have they had?
Let's say three or four, probably.
Why do they need another?
Two that were really bad, right? The fall and the chair shot. I think a third one. Oh, table, or yeah, there was a tables match. They had the three or four, I'd say. Yeah.
It's lost on me. Absolutely lost. And also the fact that he's the reveal for who hit him in the leg.
Yeah.
What a dumb reveal. What a dumb reveal. Nobody cared. After the first week, nobody cared.
Yeah.
Nobody cared at all. It was like, oh, it's Jericho. And then Jericho says, not him. And then everyone stopped caring.
Yeah.
And then 3 weeks later, she's like, it was me. Don't you remember? Your knee hurts and you're cleared to wrestle now. Like,
I forgot about that. Oh. Yeah, I forgot that he got hurt. I just thought it was Jericho because he shows up with a bat. And like, okay, well, that's the end of that that mystery. No. Yeah, no, but yeah. I don't know. I think it didn't help that, like, the show forgot about it. Like, nobody on the announcer team brought up that he got hit after that, and we just collectively forgot. Yeah.
Because it sounded like a collective groan. I hope next week they forget about it and they never have a match again.
I agree. Yeah.
I hope so. Well, Moe, I have one last what.
Ah.
One sneaky little what. And it's the smallest of little whats, and it's nitpicky. But I don't even think we need to talk about it other than Cody should not have dyed his hair back.
Did he?
He bleached it.
Oh, I didn't even notice. He bleached it,
and I was so sad by that because it's just like, did you get too many mean comments, Cody? Did it get to you? Like, that was good. That was a fun little thing that I just got upset.
I can't believe I didn't notice that. I was just, I'm the worst at finding details. I'm the absolute worst.
I didn't notice until halfway through the match.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, I didn't even think of it. But then I was just, oh, that's no fun. Because he's no longer evil Cody anymore.
Yeah.
And I was excited for that character arc that he changes his hair when he's actually evil. And I think it would have made the match better.
But it seems like he's not doing that. Like, all the fan theories that he was, like, slowly turning heel because he's becoming more unbearable to watch as a performer are true. Because of his last promo after he beat Brody Lee, he was like, literally, like, all the people that say this is going to happen, it's not happening!
I disagree, actually.
Oh, you think?
Yeah. I think the slower build, because that promo last week, or the whatever, 2 weeks ago, I think that was the most heel promo, because he thinks he's the shit so much. It's going to play so great in a future video package. I was just like, well, I'm not going to do it. I'm always going to do it. Why? Because I say whatever I want, whenever I want. Like,
Red, you're following it. You're falling into their hands again. You're falling into that whole fan theory thing again. I don't know. I feel like I'm
going to be a jaded AEW person one day, but I believe in them too much right now.
Yeah.
It's going to hurt.
I mean, they're good. Most of the time. They're good at following up with these things most of the time. So
when they remember.
Yeah. On the big stuff. Remember. Like Kenny, the beloved ones. The ones that everyone backstage loves, like Kenny Omega, Hangman Page, Young Bucks. Like, their storylines are pretty good overall. Yeah. Well, and have a lot of new ones, yeah.
We had a great AEW Woos and Whats. We had so much fun, and it was a fun first year. You can find us on all the things. You can find us on the Loser Leaves Wrestling on Instagram, on Twitter, Loser Leaves Pod. Like and review us. Please review us in 5 stars. Moet, can you say your last name backwards?
LWASAJ.
Don't spell it. Say it.
Oh. Like a word. Ah, damn it. Ladge, Lassage, Lassage.
Thank you all so much for watching. Lassage and Durr are gonna say bye.
Nah, yours is easy. It's so fair.